Hi, this is Bobby Weir, and you're listening to Moe Train... No. Hi, this is Bobby Weir, and you're listening to Moe's Train Tracks.
We have got a podcast of truly legendary proportions here on Moe Train's Tracks. I got an opportunity, an honor, to sit down with the legendary Bobby Weir of Grateful Dead and Rat Dog fame. I'm telling you, when Bobby Weir stepped onto the scene in a media tent, it was mass hysteria. Everyone wanted a piece of him. Everyone wants to talk to a legend. Fortunately, we at Moe Train's Tracks got to sit down with him backstage, and we got to pick his brain about music, about his philosophies. I know Bobby always speaks about the music scene, but I decided to take a different route. When I told Bobby that I really wanted to talk about music more than the music scene, Bobby's eyes lit up. That's a sign of a true musician. Also, you know you have an interview of truly legendary proportions when two legends are in the same room interviewing each other on the mic. That's right, we had a little surprise in Moe Train's Tracks when Jack Cassidy, a founding member of Hot Tuna, walked in the middle of the interview, and Bobby Weir stood up and started to interview Jack Cassidy with our mics. I'm telling you, I was absolutely shocked. I think Bobby's manager was shocked too. As soon as Jack and Bobby were on the mic, it was like the paparazzi was let in. There were so many cameras going off, it was insanity. And we got it all on the mic at Moe Train's Tracks Podcast. So it is with our honor that we bring you the legendary Bobby Weir.
I know you always talk about music scenes. Let's talk about music itself.
Music what?
Music itself as a subject.
Uh-huh.
More importantly than a band, of course, you were in Grateful Dead. You helped to form music itself.
Yeah, so I'm told. I'm told that we, the Grateful Dead, were the godfathers of the jam band scene, though I don't see it that way. You know, I think what we do goes back at least to Buddy Bolin, the legendary New Orleans trumpet player. Back around the turn of the last century. And I think that, you know, basically jam music in Western culture comes from, it comes from at least that far back.
Right.
The Grateful Dead managed to bring rock and roll, or what they call rock and roll, sort of in that direction. And that may have been our crowning achievement, perhaps. In that regard, I guess we have contributed a bit. I think people have found inspiration in what we did. And I think you can hear here at Bonnaroo a lot of bands who, like I say, found inspiration in what we did and are sort of carrying that torch.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think that's good, because the more adventure there is in music, the more I think the rewards are.
So it started back in the late 20s, 30s with the jazz, with
Louis Armstrong, those guys,
right.
Particularly Louis Armstrong.
Right. And so you think it really progressed when the Beatles brought electric to the scene? They made it mainstream, do you think?
The Beatles were more mainstream. Their arrangements were tight, but there wasn't a lot of room for improvisation in what they did. They were awfully good at what they did, but I wouldn't call it jam. Yeah, I wouldn't have called them a jam band by any means, or a jazz band, or anything like that.
Duke Ellington mentioned about jazz having no rules, no form. It can be held down to no laws. How do you feel that applies to your music?
Well, it's it's 100% applicable to what we do, though that's an awfully high standard to set.
Of course.
No rules, no form. It's almost impossible to live up to that on a good night. And we have good nights pretty regularly in my band these days. We go to places where we're really starting from go. We don't even know what tempo we're going to start with. Tempo is a rule.
Mm-hmm.
A key is a rule. A tonality is a rule.
Right.
Then a melody is another rule. Mm-hmm. A rhythm is another rule. And all that kind of stuff. And to make music that people can actually enjoy listening to, you have to conform to a lot of those rules.
Right.
Though, like I say, on some evenings, we can throw that stuff all out the window and be really free and still make music that people can get into. We try to do that nightly.
You have a set list of almost 200 songs, correct? Or is it
something
more than
like that?
Yeah. Right. How do you decide how to go from song to song? Are you moving more to set list now, or are you still doing improvisation? What is your approach these days?
I usually do a set list for this band.
Okay.
It's real hard. We like to keep playing. We
right.
like to keep a meter going. See, if we start a show at 100 beats per minute,
right.
We like to keep that meter going for a while and change up the rhythms, change up the keys,
right.
change up the songs. Given that, it's real helpful to consult a list of the songs that we do that are in that meter and pick from there. I'm working on making a software program that will allow me to do that on the fly.
Oh, very nice.
But for the time being, I still write a set list, and when I do that, I have a database of all the set lists that we've done for the past decade or so.
Right.
And I'll go back and look at, if we're playing in Memphis, I'll go back and look at the last two or three mm-hmm. times we played Memphis, and all those songs that we did are automatically out. Yeah. And then I'll look at the last week or two that we've been playing on this tour, and all those songs are automatically out. And then I
right.
start from there.
Even when it's Grateful Dead or Rat Dog, you still have a different show every night, don't you? Do you keep switching and people follow you around from city to city?
Yeah.
And they're getting a unique experience almost every single time, unless... I mean, of course, you can duplicate it every once in a while. It happens, but
We'll play a given tune two or three times on a tour, and that's about as often as we'll play. We have enough tunes so that we can keep the rotation going, and that way, when a tune comes up in the show, you know that it's going to be your last crack at it for
right.
a while, so you're
right.
going to put a little more of yourself into it. Besides that, you haven't played it for a while, so maybe you'll have some new insights as to how to interpret it.
It keeps changing? Does it keep
yeah.
evolving?
So, every show is going to be different. I really doubt that there's ever been a show that was the same as, even coincidentally the same as one that we did two or three or
right.
8 years ago.
You always have different projects. You always seem to keep yourself very, very busy.
Right.
No matter if you were, when you were back with the Grateful Dead, you always have a side project or you were doing your solo album.
Right.
How did you go putting together Rat Dog?
Rat Dog just happened. I started playing with Rob Wasserman. We did mm-hmm. a benefit together and had a lot of fun. And decided to go out as a duo for a while. And that lasted for a few years. And then we decided to add a drummer.
Okay.
Because we had done a session with this guy. And we both enjoyed working with him.
Right.
And so we added Jay Lane. And we were a trio for a while, and I think I'm actually going to start playing that trio again.
Oh, very nice. When are you going to start that?
Because I did a benefit a couple weeks ago with those guys, a school benefit in San
right.
Francisco, and it was, I remembered how much fun that was.
Excellent, excellent.
And so I'm going to start doing that again. I think. Look at this guy. We're doing a podcast here, so you're on.
Well, hi. This is Jack Cassidy. I'm coming in to see my old buddy, Bob. How's it going, Bob?
Well, pretty good.
Will?
Yeah, where
absolutely.
Are you playing?
We have played. We played at 2:30 today, but we're going to sit in with our buddy's Government Mule at 12 midnight to 3 in the morning.
I'll be there, too.
You'll be there, too.
You bet.
And we're going to do a little thing over here. Yorm is around the corner. Barry's around the corner. Eric's around the corner.
All right.
What are you going to do?
Say hi to Yorms.
Say hi to
you. I'm
so
go
you're
say
being, you're being
yeah.
directed yeah. by mm-hmm. 2 minutes? People.
Absolutely.
Okay,
sure.
Let's wind this down. And
we're going to finish
we'll
up here.
Sure. Okay. When my friends and my listeners learned that I was going to be speaking with you, they wanted to know one thing. They wanted to know, what are some of your craziest memories of your whole music experience? Not just Grateful Dead, but your whole music experience. Anything stand out particularly?
Let's see. The musical experience, the one that stands out the most is the time that we... The first night that we played... I guess it was actually the third night that we played. Well, it was a blend of all three nights that we played in Egypt back in 78, I think it was. It was with the Grateful Dead, and we had done our sound check. It had taken us a week to rig the Sony Lumineth theater over there, which is a, you know, thousands and thousands of year old amphitheater built back in ancient times at the foot of the Sphinx, which is at the foot of the Great Pyramid, and it's all lit up real pretty these days. And word had sort of filtered out that there was going to be a rock and roll band playing there. It was a first time happening. We spent the we spent a week setting it up and getting electricity out there, getting it reasonably reliable, and we went on stage to play, and it was just after, you know, it was just at dusk, and we started playing, and the lights came on, and we were the brightest and warmest thing around, and this is down by the river, the Nile, so the mosquitoes went straight for us. This is something we hadn't planned for. And yeah, I looked at this cloud of mosquitoes around us, and I saw them landed on me right and left, and I figured, okay, welcome to hell. This is going to be thoroughly unenjoyable. And then something flashed before my eyes, some dark form, and then another. And I looked around, and I saw that these great big bats were flying around the stage, and they were gulping down the mosquitoes. They knew a good thing when they saw it. You know, it was a good thing for them. And then I realized that there were like hundreds, if not thousands, of them. I mean, there were, of course, thousands of mosquitoes, but these bats were just—they were saving the day or the night. And so, you know, in my mind's eye, I sort of backed off from this. And so here's this rock and roll band just hitting the groove, just starting to hit the groove. And they're on this ancient stage at the foot of the Sphinx, at the foot of the Great Pyramids. And the dunes on either side were lined with Bedouins on their horses and camels with their guns over their shoulders. They'd heard about this, and they'd come in to check it out. Full moon was rising. Surrounded by a cloud of bats, big cloud of bats. And I was thinking to myself, take me now, Lord. I want to remember it just like this.
That's amazing. Mr. Ware, thank you very, very much for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you for all the music, for all the years.
You know, it's the summertime, and that's right, it's festival season. So where can you get the best coverage of all the summer festivals? That's right, that's Motrain's Tracks. So if you want the coverage, you gotta go to themotrain.com, Motrain at myspace.com, or Motrain's Tracks Podcast at myspace.com. There, you can get all the coverage of Bonnaroo, of Vegas in Vegas, and Lollapalooza. If we're not at festivals, we'll be bouncing around to other music events, also to different parties, bars, all kinds of entertainment. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the Motrain's Tracks Insanity with King B and the Motrain. Be on the lookout for MotrainsTracks.com. That's right, MotrainsTracks.com. Yeah, we're a little bit crazy, and we're usually kind of drunk. But hey, we're King B and Motrain. Together, we're Team Excelsior, and we are Motrain's Tracks.